This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
The Purple fans might have twisted the song a little bit and played this in their remorse, in their mourning last night, as they watched a fantastic football game, but another football game where for the seventh straight time, the Seattle Seahawks defeated the Purple by one. Matthew Collar is outstanding, as always, Purple Insider. It is a it's must get for information right after the game, like last night, or even more insight today. You can also check out the podcast. Matthew's given us a little bonus edition. He's normally with us on Fridays. Our guy Chip Scoggins caught up in travel. So Matthew's with us on the Center Point Energy Home Service Plus hotline. When the decision was in front of us, you said, as you always say, in situations comparable to this, fourth and one, go for it. Did you feel like it was a 100% no-brainer? And has your view changed in any way some 18 hours or so later?
Yeah, I mean, at the time, I felt like it was a no-brainer because it gives you the option to not give Russell Wilson the ball back. Now, I know that they failed on fourth and one and gave Russell Wilson the ball back, but at least by going for it, if you succeed, the game is over. Your win probability is 100% if you get that 1 yard, and your chances of getting that yard are about 70 to 90% based on your play call. Now, of course, they went with not a great play call, and they ran behind the worst right guard in the entire NFL, and Brian O'Neill got blown up to on that play, and that's why they came up short. But if they had chosen to QB sneak, that's about a 90% probability play. So there is things to question about what they decided to do there. And also running a reverse on third and four to Adam Thielen. I don't know that Adam Thielen has ever had a good reverse. They try it once a week. It never works. Yep. I don't know why they did it there either. So there's all sorts of things to question about how that played out. But, you know, either way that they went, their odds of winning that game were extremely high. And I broke it down on my website, you know, today that if they get the first down, it's 100%, you win, the game's over. Even if you fail, their odds to win were still 86%, according to ESPN's win probability calculator. You're making them drive 94 yards down the field, and they did it. I mean, you're not supposed to allow that to happen, and especially the way they were playing defense, I thought there was reason for Mike Zimmer to trust his defense if it went wrong, and they came very, very close to closing out Russell Wilson. Two fourth downs he needed to convert, and so I think that the decision is justifiable, but the people who said they should have kicked a field goal, their win probability would have been 96% had they kicked a field goal and gone up by 8 points. So in this case, we can fight over it till we're blue in the face, but the reason that they really lost is a bunch of different things. I mean, it's the bad play calling there. It's the Kirk Cousins baffling interception. It's the, you know, defense not being able to close out on a Hail Mary on fourth down and 10. So I look at that game and say there were a lot of other reasons other than that decision, and it was not crazy at all by Mike Zimmer to do.
So let's get to a few more of those issues in moments, but you raise a number of good points still on this fourth and one. I want to stay with it for a couple more points. The Thielen one, we didn't mention it early. I'm glad you did. Didn't understand that call at all. Then have you seen enough of the data yet? Because it did appear last night that whether it was Boone, Cook, or Dalvin before he left, if they ran to the left side, they had greater success. And I get that as dreadful as Samia is, he is a better run blocker than pass blocker. But do we have the data back up the left side versus the right side yet from last night's game?
Yeah, I did not look at left versus right, but just from my eyeballs, I would totally agree that they had a bunch of big plays that went to the left side on handoffs. And Samia is, at least by the Pro Football Focus grades, also one of the worst run blockers in the league. So
okay, he's dreadful at both. He's just less dreadful run blocking.
Right. Only slightly, but yeah, I think the pass blocking miscues probably stand out more, at least to the naked eye. But running to the right is not the thing I would have gone for there. But even then, they ran for 200 yards. And so that's the thing where if you're criticizing that play call, I mean, you have to consider that they were steamrolling the Seattle defensive line. They had run 87 plays at that point. And I mean, Seattle's defense probably felt like it was the Big 12 or something. Like, they were completely gassed. And the fact that they made that play is kind of astonishing. I mean, whatever the odds are to not get that first down, if you factor in that they had been running over that defensive line for Seattle the entire game, that would make it even lower. And so, I guess it's just like classic Vikings to have all the odds completely in your favor and still find a way to lose. And now that's the second time that they've done that. I mean, against Tennessee, they were up by 2 scores in the third quarter, and I think the win probability was something over 90%, and found a way to let that go away. And I think that that's just what we're dealing with here with the Vikings, where even when they play a really, really good overall game, they still don't have enough juice to get the job done.
The pictures are not kind to Alex Mattison on, it appears, puts the foot in the ground, peels outside, he scores a touchdown. Now, it's a picture. The video evidence, I don't think, makes it quite as clear. When you've watched it, how egregious was the Mattison decision when it's just one of those plays that happens so quickly and he is still a second-year running back? Or is all the criticism justified and he just made a very poor decision?
Yeah, I think that it's unfair to Mattison. First of all, gosh, that whole thing of screen grabbing stuff and saying how bad everyone is obnoxious on Twitter for sure. Because, I mean, we do this all the time with, look how wide open that wide receiver was. Like, that's not even where the play was supposed to go. I guess the quarterback needs 8 eyes to be able to find it. And I think the same thing with that with Alexander Mattison. Like, the play design is to run right where he ran. And, yeah, I guess if you put it in slow motion and have it like Gale Sayers highlights or something, he bounces to the outside. But in fast motion, he's going right where he's supposed to go. And it looks like as he's getting the ball, he's going to get it. And then all of a sudden, the Seattle linebacker is kind of right there, just kind of appears as Brian O'Neill doesn't make his block. And really, Drew Samia did kind of okay enough to get you a yard. It was really Brian O'Neill, who's generally great, who got kind of blown up on that play by a linebacker. That should not have happened. If it's Delvin Cook is kind of the question. Like, does Delvin Cook jut to the outside? Does he jump? Does he do something crazy? And the answer is probably yes, but Alexander Mattison is also good. And so I think that it's a little bit on the unfair side to be like, look, no one was over here, because we could do that all the time. But these things happen at lightning speed, and there are things that you're supposed to do on the play. And so if he does it and it doesn't work out, what are you going to do? I think the question for me is, with Garrett Bradbury actually having a good night, it appeared last night, with his run blocking, why not just QB sneak? And they had had success on it early in the game. They've had success on it for years, and so does every other NFL team. When it's 4th and 1, you QB sneak. It's a 90% play. There's been studies done on it. The Patriots did it for years with Tom Brady. And I thought that if there's one thing you're going to question on that play, it's probably not deciding to just jam the ball up the middle for a yard.
Let's go back to a scenario that set this up earlier. They had the meltdown for about less than 2 minutes, where the score moves from 13-0 to they're down 21-13. Cousins then has an excellent drive when he's facing a lot of pressure. They score the touchdown. It's still the third quarter. It's 21-19. They can kick an extra point. There's a long way to go. I am not in favor of points chasing. To me, I'd rather wait till later in the game. As you're watching it live, and it was 21-19, and then, of all plays, they decide to go with the Kirk Cousins draw. What did you think about that? Because obviously, if they just kick the extra point there, then this whole scenario doesn't happen because you automatically kick the field goal when it's now, you know, where you're at with that margin.
Yeah, first of all, again, the play call is so baffling. I mean, you know, last year everything seemed to click right for Kevin Stefanski. If he called a trick play, it worked. If he called a play action, someone was wide open. And Gary Kubiak hasn't had the same luck, but you make your own luck in play calling, and having Kirk Cousins run a draw is asinine. I mean, come on. He's got to be bottom three slowest quarterbacks in the league. You fooled somebody with the Texans last week and got a first down, but doing it again, going back to that well, I think was silly. You have Justin Jefferson and Adam Thielen and Kyle Rudolph on this football team. Give them the ball. But aside from that, no, I have no problem with them deciding to go for two because, yeah, if you go to the end and then work backwards, of course you could say, well, it would have worked out better. But when you're trying to make that decision at the time, another way you could think of it is if we only kick an extra point here and are down by 1 point and Seattle scores a touchdown, then they can go for two and go up nine and essentially end the game by being up two scores, right? So there's a million different ways that would play out. I think I'd much prefer to try and tie the game, and your chances of getting a two-point conversion are pretty high in the NFL, especially with the number of playmakers that you have. So, you know, I think that staying down in the game to an elite quarterback is probably not a great idea. And I also think, where are you at as a team in that situation? You're 1-3. You need to be aggressive. The other team is better than you. And so you need to have things go your way when you roll the dice in order to beat them. And the fact of the matter was, they just, everything that Zimmer tried when it came to the aggressiveness, it didn't exactly work outside of, you know, a couple fourth downs there. So, you know, I think that there's a lot of process versus results. There are arguments to be made for both sides, but I don't look at those decisions and say, hang them up, Zimmer, you don't know what you're doing. I like the idea of trying to be as aggressive as possible when you're 1-3 and you need a huge win.
Matthew Collar's with us. Check out his excellent work on a regular basis, Purple Insider. Follow him on Twitter. So let's talk about now that when Seattle gets the ball, not one but two times, it's fourth down, one time fourth and 10, and Metcalf has success against Dantzler. It appears on the touchdown that Dantzler was a large part of it, because if you looked, and I know other people have highlighted this on Twitter, including Ben Gessling, where it certainly appears that after the go-ahead touchdown, that Harrison Smith looks at him and says, Cam, cover your bleeping guy. How much blame does Dantzler deserve for what happened on those two plays?
A lot. Definitely on the deep ball where he kind of just gets spun around, and that was always a bit of a concern when it came to Cam Dantzler and his athleticism, and the reason that he's a third-round pick is that someone like DK Metcalf is a lot faster than him. So, you know, he's kind of running full speed there, and he's trying to look for the ball, and he just kind of gets a little lost, and DK is able to bring it in. And it was very clear that they were attacking him. They threw at him 11 times. I think the next best guy the next highest targeted guy maybe was only three or four the entire game. So it kind of reminded me of when Dallas went after Mike Hughes last year, and they just kept attacking the same guy over and over again. You know, and that's the thing about defense that is so tough, is if one guy struggles and one guy's having a bad year or whatever, it can really take apart a great defensive performance or a good defensive team. And I'm not saying that the Vikings are a good defensive team, but that was a really, really good defensive performance. You give up, 217 yards to Russell Wilson. You sack him four times. Yeah. You pick him off. I mean, he was looking confused in the pocket at times, which you never see from that guy. And yet still, he was able to come through and make a great play. And I think, of course, yes, you can pin the blame on Dantzler, but you also have to look at the other side and say, these are two highly paid franchise quarterbacks. One comes up with that big play at the end. You know, the other one, you're still kind of waiting for that big win from Kirk Cousins in the third year after signing him. So there's also that part too, that yes, Dantzler did get exposed, but that's what elite quarterbacks do to you, is they find the weak point and they crush it for a win.
Last thing, I'll let you go. I heard you and Courtney Cronin talking on your podcast, tied to Purple Insider, about how essential this game was, that you're 1-3. If you win this game, you're 2-3. You get the Falcons at the time. You didn't know they'd lose. You didn't know they'd fire the GM and the head coach. But you could be staring at 3-3. What did last night do to the hopes of completely resurrecting this season and trying to get to a 9-7, potentially 10-6 scenario?
Yeah, I think that had they won, I would have probably put their playoff odds at a coin flip or maybe even a little better, because I think we would have looked at all the positive things they did, especially on defense, and we would have said, well, if you could even play a shred of like that against these other teams, you could definitely beat Andy Dalton now in the Cowboys, or you can beat Jacksonville, who threw it like 40 times with Gardner Minshew yesterday, and they'll probably fire their coach at some point here. Like, the home schedule, you know, going forward looks fairly favorable, and all you really would need is a couple division wins to get back in it. But now we're talking about, it's got to be a miracle second half of the season. You have so much ground to make up that even if the Bears start to fade, and even though the NFC East is the Drew Samia of divisions, I mean, you still have to win a lot. I mean, you still got to really get hot here down the stretch. And it's just hard to see when your team can't close out games that you're winning by double digits, that you're just not a great team if you can't finish off games like in Tennessee and games here. And now, what games can I trust you to win? I could trust you to beat the Falcons, but can I trust you to get a couple of upsets? Maybe, you know, beat the Packers or beat the Bears in Chicago, games like that? Probably not. Can I think that you're going to go to Tampa Bay and upset them, or New Orleans? Probably not. So the math becomes very, very difficult, and it's a huge swing game. I think if we're talking today after a win, if they get that 1 yard, we feel totally different about this, and we're talking about, hey, Mike Zimmer, man, coach of the year, like, he's going to bring them back, and yet now it seems very, very far off.
Great stuff, sir. Friday, among our topics, all-time best television shows. We need to include that in the conversation, because both of us are huge fans of Better Call Saul.
I will be prepared.
All right, be prepared. Thank you, Matthew. Matthew, check him out on Twitter, at Matthew Collar and Purple Insider.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.